This is the What Now Podcast.
Again, if there's one truth I know, it's like God is real. He loves me so much. He wants me to be happy. He has a perfect plan for me. And I know that. Like, I know that for a fact. No one can take that from me. And there's all these other things, you know, that I know as well and believe in the church. And there's also a lot of questions I have and unanswered questions. But because I know that one truth above all, like, that's my approach, is like, okay, God wants me to be happy and he loves me. Well, I'm just going to stay close to him. I'm going to try to seek his guidance in navigating the gray area, because there is a lot of gray area. And as I do so, I know that eventually, like, I'll end up where I need to be.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we discuss the culture and beliefs in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in an honest and faithful way, in an effort to encourage, uplift, and inspire. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with Hunter Steele, a 24-year-old BYU student who shares how he navigates his journey as a gay member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Hunter shares advice for parents on how to support their gay children, and advice for gay members on how to open up about their orientation. Hunter talks about the emotional challenges of being gay and how to get the right help. Hunter powerfully testifies how navigating his orientation with God has brought him peace, and how he helps support other LGBTQ+ members in the church community who struggle with balancing the culture with their faith. Today I'm here with Hunter Steele. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, before we begin, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself so our listeners can get to know you better?
Absolutely. Yeah, so my name is Hunter Steele. Like she said, I'm 24 years old and I'm from a small town in Utah. It's called Nephi. So I was born and raised there. I have an amazing family. I'm the middle child. So I have an older sister who's married and has two little boys. I love being an uncle. And then I have a younger brother who's serving a mission right now in Arkansas. And I'm just at BYU now. I'm studying journalism. I'm a junior. And so just trying to grind and get the degree so I can go out into the real world. But that's kind of what I'm up to right now.
Well, great. I like getting a little background on people. You kind of get a perspective. And I think you are a really brave person. I listened to your podcast recently with Richard Osler about your experience with being a gay member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and how you've chosen to navigate this journey, and it's always changing. And so I think it's really helpful for our group of listeners who are interested in the church culture to kind of understand your perspective and how we can be more helpful as members of the church. But before you came out, you had such a dedicated desire to please God, which also made it more difficult for you to love that part of yourself that was gay. So how did you work through that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think just to start, because I kind of had this deep desire to please God, my biggest fear was obviously like disappointing him. And I think what made it hard for me to love that part of myself was kind of growing up under this impression that being gay was something that like came from Satan, and that it was just this like awful, evil thing. And that's what made it hard, is I didn't think that my sexuality as a gay man was able to in any way please God. And so that's kind of why I decided to hate that part of myself. And so I guess to answer the question of how did I work through that, really it took years and a lot of prayer and experiences to come to realize that being gay was not some mistake that came from the devil, that it was actually how I was intended to be, and that God loved that part of me as well. And I really didn't get to that point until I first came out to my therapist, which was actually 2 years after my mission. And so it was a long time of kind of just ignoring that part of myself. But once I finally decided to open up and acknowledge that that was real, that's when God was able to kind of touch my heart and help me see that this wasn't something that displeased him. And so Yeah, I guess to sum it up, I had to get to a point where I was open enough to accept the fact that I was gay. And once I was able to do that and then take that to God, that's when he was able to kind of show me that he loved me just the same.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so hard to want to grow spiritually, then also be so aware of kind of how your orientation conflicts with the cultural expectations in the church.
Right.
That would be so hard. I mean, how did living in denial of your orientation, you were just talking about that, in like, it's this dichotomy, right? It's like these opposites. Yeah, you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is from Satan, but yet I love God and I'm such a good person. That internal conflict must have been really difficult. I mean, how did living in denial kind of for your orientation take a toll on you emotionally?
Yeah, it was. It was super difficult. And I think like in the moment, I didn't even realize completely the toll that it took on me emotionally. But looking back in retrospective, I can just see how much it did affect me, because really each day I was so conscious of every move that I made, because I had this deep fear of people realizing that I was gay. And so living in denial caused me to think about the way that I talked, the way I walked, the way I interacted with people at school, with friends. Like every little move that I made, I was very conscious and aware and did everything I could to make it seem like that wasn't the case. And so really, I would say the biggest toll it took on me was just, it was exhausting. I mean, it was emotionally exhausting to do that day in and day out. And then also you have the other side of things, like you were saying, kind of trying to balance these two parts of you. I'm living in denial and trying to hide this part of me while also wanting to live this life pleasing God and just being genuine and authentic. And so that was frustrating emotionally too, like having these spiritual experiences and feeling like I was connecting with God to an extent, but then feeling like I wasn't being genuine because I was like ignoring this other part of me. So that kind of messed with my head a little bit too. And so really it was just ups and downs, like ever up until I decided to eventually come out, lots of highs and lots of low lows emotionally, just because it's exhausting to do that.
Mm-hmm. That internal struggle would be so exhausting. I mean, how old were you when you first noticed that you might be gay? When did you become aware of that?
Yeah, I think it was like in middle school probably is when I made most of the realizations. It's interesting because I can't recall like an aha moment where it was like, this was the time I noticed, but I just remember a lot of little things. Like even as early as elementary school, I remember, like, at the time I didn't realize it, but I can look back now and just kind of look at the way I interacted with friend groups and stuff like that. I could tell that like I was a little different, but middle school, junior high was when I started to realize like there was an actual attraction to guys. And then in high school especially is when I kind of realized there wasn't an attraction to girls. So it was kind of like this process, but it kind of began mostly in middle school.
Yeah, I can imagine that in high school that would be really heightened when you don't have any fulfillment from kissing girls and enjoying what the boys your age were doing.
Right. Yeah, no, it definitely heightened that, especially just because I did still have that desire to kind of portray that I was just like everyone else, that I was straight. And so I remember doing all those things, like despite having no desire to date girls, to kiss girls, like I did that because my friends were doing that and I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be the same. But as I did that, I just remember like questioning how they found any fulfillment in that. And again, kind of living in denial, I had convinced myself like maybe I'm just more mature than them at the time, when in reality, like I didn't have those same desires and it wasn't doing the same things for me that it was for my straight friends. And so lived in denial for a bit, but I realized slowly but surely that that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because then you kind of roll into the mission chapter And so, you know, it's common for many LDS men to want to go on a mission to get rid of the homosexual feelings they have. I know Tom Christofferson felt that way, and Charlie Byrd, and a lot of these men I've interviewed, and, you know, potentially kind of cure themselves of being gay, or they'll be blessed that those desires will leave them because they're serving the Lord. So why did you think serving a mission would help change your orientation or change your feelings about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so true. It is so common. And I think why, or at least for me, why was just because, again, like, I didn't see this part of me lining up with God's plan. And so I figured, you know, if I go give up 2 years of my life to dedicate every waking minute to teaching God's plan and preaching his plan to others, then certainly he would help me to, like, be in a place where I could fulfill that plan as well. And in my mind, I thought that meant being changed to be straight. And so, yeah, I kind of just figured that, like, me turning outward and helping other people get on this path, that in doing so, God would kind of do the same for me. And obviously, like, that didn't happen, but my perspective changed a lot post-mission about how he has helped me to be a part of the plan. But that just isn't what I thought it was. I thought that making me straight, but it wasn't. But that's definitely how I went into my mission, just thinking that helping others, he'd return the favor and make me straight, is kind of what I thought.
It's interesting, because I remember Charlie Byrd saying when he was on his mission, he felt amazing because he could be all that he wanted to be. Like, he could help with the cake decorating, he could help with the flower arranging at weddings, he could help. And it wasn't weird that he was, like, helping with all those things because he was a missionary and he was serving. So it was, like, really appreciated. But in his normal life, he was so worried about that, like, that people would know he's into those things and, well, you're so feminine, or you must be gay, or, you know what I mean? So the mission, actually, he said, was such a kind of freeing experience in a way. Did you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. And I think for similar reasons and other reasons, like, it was just, I mean, you have one kind of role and one purpose, and really it's just to love people and share with them the light of Christ, but to be just completely yourself while doing so. And so it's nice because you're not really in a place where you're talking about your attraction or pursuing dating or romance at all, but all those other parts of you, you get to embrace, just the authentic parts of you. And so I definitely felt it was freeing being on a mission, which sounds kind of crazy because sometimes people would think that would make it a lot worse. But I think the reason it was freeing is because, kind of like I mentioned, I wasn't focused on my orientation or my attractions. Like, I was just focused on what I could offer to others. And so it was nice. It was even, like, so nice to the point where there were times that I thought maybe I was healed from it on my mission, like, or changed. Again, I don't believe it's something to be healed from, but just my mission self then thought, maybe have I been healed from this? Because it wasn't, like, stressing me out day in and day out. But, but I think that's just because it wasn't on the forefront of my mind at the time.
That's so true. Because when you're a missionary, you're not talking about dating and all of that chapter of your life that's so present when you're the age that you're at, 18 to 21. That's just removed because you're on a mission. So I can see how that would be kind of liberating in a way. Like, we don't have to talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
People aren't asking me who I'm dating or what I'm doing. You know, you're just teaching the gospel.
Right. No, it's so true. And I think, like, there were moments, obviously, like, your companions and the missionaries you live with, like, they'll still talk about that stuff and ask. And I mean, those moments are hard, but I think, like, having 18 years of experience with that, like, I became pretty good at, this sounds bad, but, like, I became pretty good at lying almost and just, like, putting off that I was straight. And so I didn't, like, freak out when they'd ask those questions. I just kind of had my answers that I would give to hopefully just, like, move on with the conversation. So there were moments like that that are kind of, like, hard or stressful. But again, for the most part, it's not really on the forefront of conversation.
Well, I kind of want to talk about that because you're talking about how you were basically like faking it, you know, like just to not have anything be awkward. And it seems like most LGBTQ men and women wait until they've gone through their schooling to avoid the social backlash that they might experience because of their orientation. When is the right time to open up about that? Because it can be, kids can be ruthless.
Right. Yeah, no, it's such a good question. And I don't know if there is like one right time, but I would say it is such a personal journey. And I don't know, for me, it's so interesting because I talk about how hard it was for me to hide this for so long and to not be open about it. But at the same time, I'm like, I think that the timing of how my experience and my journey has been and when I opened up about it, I don't think it could have happened any other way. Like, I think for me, I was not in a place any earlier to be comfortable opening up about that and to not be like terrified of how people would react. I mean, I still was to an extent when I did come out, but I don't think it could have happened any earlier for me, even though that would have been nice. So I guess that's why I say it is such a personal journey that I feel like each person has to kind of navigate with God. I would say, though, that there's so much progress happening in the world that at least in secondary education, like in universities and colleges, even at BYU, right, which is a very religious school connected directly with our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Even there, I have found that people, the majority of people, most people, everyone that I surround myself with, like, is so accepting, so embracing, so loving. And I don't think people would have said the same thing even 5, 10, especially 15, 20 years ago. And so progress is being made, I would say, to the point where it is safer to talk about this earlier. But I don't know. I mean, for me, I can't see myself opening up about that like in high school or anything like that. But definitely it's something so personal that everyone has to navigate. I love that you're even having me on this podcast or other people like me, because I think the hope is that as more of us just share our stories and there's a greater understanding across the church and world about what our experiences are like, it will become safer and safer to share these things earlier and earlier because people will better understand what it's like. And so
I totally agree with you. And I think BYU was inspired to have Ben Shalati as an honor code administrator who's gay. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know he's done so much for so many people. I know so many friends personally who have talked about being able to go to him, and even people who haven't talked to him, but just seeing that he is there in that role and position, like, gives them a sense of hope and belonging.
Mm-hmm. Now, and he is amazing too. He is so confident and grounded in his orientation. We had an inclusion event at my house with Charlie Bird and Ben Shalati a couple months ago, and I was so impressed by both of them and their just deep conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ and their deep commitment to just embrace their orientation. So, and what they're doing for thousands of members of the church who are in your situation, who are on the brink of suicide. I mean, it's real. I mean, you know, you've experienced that and talked about that on Richard Osler's podcast, and Charlie, all of them have experienced that. And I can't even begin to imagine how difficult that is to be in a culture that you love, that you want, doctrine that you love and revere, but yet you just can't partake of certain things with that orientation, right? Married to a woman, the whole eternal family, it's got to be so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And yeah, that's why, again, like just going back to conversations like this, like they are so important, is because really at the end of the day, like we don't have a lot of answers, at least in my opinion, from my perspective, like those hard things that we grapple with missing out on certain opportunities or blessings, like we don't necessarily have answers to those questions, but what we do have is people who can listen to us, who can listen to each other and love each other to the point where they try to understand and respect and support us in any way we can. Mourn with those that mourn, I guess. And that I feel like is what has helped me to move forward despite still having those same questions, still grappling with the same things. Like, really, yeah, I am confident in my direction. And that's just because I have so many people who love me and support me and know that I'm trying my best to do life with God. And so I guess I'm just saying these conversations are so good, and I just hope everyone can try to put themselves in, you know, the shoes of someone who's gay and a member of the church. Because when you really think about that, when you really think about grappling with those things that you were talking about, the temple marriage, the eternal family, when you really sit with those thoughts and feelings, then you start to kind of see, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know how I would handle this situation. And that's kind of where we're all at, is just trying to figure that out day by day.
What you're saying is leading perfectly into a question I have about when you were teaching at the MTC. One of the missionaries asked how to teach the law of chastity to someone who is gay, and you had such an interesting exercise for them to do. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was interesting. I this question, like, it caught me off guard because this was early on in my teaching, and I wasn't out at this point, and so I wasn't going to share anything from personal experience. But I wasn't sure, honestly, how to answer the question at first, and then I just kind of felt guided and prompted to do this little exercise. And basically what I said to this missionary and to the whole district of missionaries, I said, this is a great question. And first of all, Elder, before we can even think about how to teach this to someone who is gay, we need to first just try to understand what that experience would be like. And so I said, I want you all to close your eyes, missionaries, and we're going to do a little exercise. And I prefaced by saying, this is not real. This is not something that is happening. And it might make you feel a little uncomfortable at first because of that. But just please bear with me and try, seriously try to think about if this were to be real, this hypothetical scenario. And basically, I would just say to them, okay, I want you to imagine that President Nelson gets up in the next general conference and he announces to the church, I've received revelation, and God's law of marriage is now between a man and a man and a woman and a woman, to be sealed in the temple, to have an eternal marriage in the temple. That is the law. That's the commandment. Men have to be married to men. Women have to be married to women. And I just kind of let that sit for a second. I say, just think about that, missionaries. And I remind them that if you're straight, like, your orientation, your attractions don't change. So keep that in mind. The way that you currently feel stays the same, but God's law of marriage is different. And then I just kind of explain to them, so missionaries, not only will you'll never be able to act on the natural feelings that you have towards the opposite sex, you'll never be able to hold hands, to kiss, to get married, to have children, you'll never be able to do those things. But on the flip side, if you want an eternal sealed marriage in the temple, you actually have to pursue a relationship with the same sex, the opposite of what you naturally feel. If you want to be in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom, you have to act on the opposite of how you naturally are. And I, again, just kind of let that sit for a second, and I can see the wheels turning. And then I just ask them, I'd say, so what would you do? And without fail, every time I did this, because I did this after every time it came up, every time there would be a missionary or two or many or the whole district that would say something like, oh, I wouldn't, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. And that's when it kind of hits them, and that's when it clicks for us all, is exactly that's kind of what these members of the church are being told or asked to do. And so when they take a second to really consider that scenario and circumstance happening to them, their perspective changes completely. And by the end of it, they weren't even asking anymore, like, what do I say when I teach this, or how do I, like, convince them that this is true? Their perspective now was like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to love them. I'm going to share, yes, what we know, but I'm just going to point them to God and express, like, how I wish I had the answers for them, but that we know they're loved and that God will guide them. So it was so cool to see like the effect that that little exercise had on their perspective and how they approach individuals who are gay and especially ones who they want to be a part of the church.
That's really powerful because they're literally putting themselves in that position and their immediate reaction is, I could not do that. And so it's the same thing for gay men and women. They're like, I can't do that. That's a good exercise to help them kind of see the perspective. And then I love how they defaulted to love, right? Like, okay, well, we're going to just love them. We'll teach them the message and help them understand the doctrine, but we can love them. I love that that was the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah. It's cool to see the perspective change because I just imagine like if everyone in the church had that same perspective of just love and like space to give people, yeah, giving people space to navigate that very complex path, like I think we'd have a lot less of the, at least the cultural kind of stigmas and harmful things that we see. So, and that's the goal of these conversations. So.
Oh, totally. I want to kind of jump into your, like when you opened up and you came out and was there like a turning point where you knew you had to share your orientation? How did you kind of get to that point where you're like, okay, I'm opening up about this?
I'll share just two quick experiences. It's interesting because both experiences, I came out initially to a therapist. That was the first time I ever came out to anyone. And then my family and like a lot of people in between then and then 2 years later, which is this past year, when I came out like publicly, like I shared my story on social media. And so it's interesting because what preceded both of those instances were fairly similar experiences. And they were actually really hard experiences where I got to such a low place emotionally that I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't think that I could keep going. And the first time I remember just, again, feeling this great conflict between, you know, this part of me and then also what I believe in my faith. And it got to the point where, like I said, I didn't see how I could keep moving forward. And so I reached out to my mom and asked if I could see a therapist, and I didn't really have a desire to talk about being gay with this therapist. I was just going to tell him how I was kind of depressed and suicidal. And but I'll never forget walking into that room. I knew as soon as I met my therapist, I just had this overwhelming feeling that I was about to open up to him and share this part of me. And I did, and it was an amazing healing experience, and I felt God's love so strongly. And so I'm grateful. It's weird to say I'm grateful I got to a low point, but really, I don't, looking back, I don't see any other way that I would have gotten to the point where I was comfortable opening up about that. And in my ideal world, it shouldn't be that way, and I don't wish that upon anyone else. I don't want them to have to get to a low point like that to be able to share this, but that's what it was for me. And eventually, you know, a couple of years later, I had progressed a lot emotionally, and I kind of worked through a lot of the shame just by talking to my family and friends who loved and supported me. But then once again, like I got to this point this past fall, actually, where I was like, okay, I know that this is okay. Like, I know God loves me the same, but I still don't know what that means for my life. I still don't know how my life is going to look or what I'm going to do. Like, there still is the pressures of, you know, these commandments and temple marriage and what my patriarchal blessing says and then how I feel and just all these complicated things where I again kind of got to the point where I was just like, I don't know how I will live like this. Like, I don't know how I can do it. And so I got to a really low point and had some pretty sacred experiences where I was at an all-time low, and a friend who didn't really know I was even at that all-time low reached out and sent these really powerful messages to me that literally felt like came from straight from God's mouth. Like it felt like God was speaking to me, and I'll never forget bawling and just feeling God's love and feeling like, no, I have to move forward. And the biggest thing that was the message I got from his messages and the way I felt was that I need to keep living this path and navigating this path because God has a work for me and I needed to help other people. And so from that moment, I just changed my perspective to be like, okay, what is God's work for me? How can I use my experiences to turn outward? And within a month, that's kind of the question that led me to the conclusion where I wanted to share my story publicly, was when I started to think more about how can I be a light or hope to other people who are feeling these same hopeless feelings. And yeah, God quickly showed me you kind of need to share your story. And I'm so grateful I did. It's been the best experience since then.
No, it's great. I mean, I kind of want to go back to what you were talking about with your therapist and how you just felt impressed to share with him and how he encouraged you to share it with your parents, which you were a little resistant to doing. But even though you knew your parents loved you and would support you, you were still scared. So what were you afraid of?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was like I was afraid of disappointing them. I knew they'd still love me. I knew that they would always be there for me. But just like I had that burning desire to please God, I kind of just have always been a people pleaser too, especially, you know, people I love, my parents, I love them. I'm so grateful for them. And so I think I worried, especially because it's interesting, but it's like because they loved me so much, I was scared because I was like, they've come to love me, Hunter, yet like, it hasn't been the full, real, authentic me, if that makes sense. That's kind of what I was thinking
in my head.
Like, oh my gosh, I hope they're not like, I don't know. I didn't want them to be super thrown off or disappointed. And I knew that they had this image of who I was and that I had just returned from my mission. Like on this path, I'm teaching at the MTC. I guess from the outside, it would look like I'm just on that kind of picture perfect, check the box path that we sometimes preach and portray. And so that was probably my biggest fear, was like them realizing that everything wasn't going the way that they thought, you know?
Yeah, because I think as parents, you have, especially in the church culture and how we raise the kids to have, you know, a companion and an eternal family and get married in the temple and have kids. And when that starts not being a part of the equation, and then you worry about, you know, the disappointment they'll feel at the loss of that for you, right? But they love you, and so they're going to support you either way. So it's interesting, too, because a lot of parents don't react in a great way who have kids who are gay. So what advice do you have for parents on how they should react when their child tells them they're gay?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, it is so cliche, but the biggest thing really is just love, love, love. Express your unwavering, unconditional love and support and how you will be here to help them on their journey in whatever way you can. I think that it's so natural and normal for parents to be caught off guard, and this is the thing that I think is important to understand. And at least for me, I feel like I've been able to develop a lot of empathy, even for like parents or just members of the church who maybe don't understand this experience and don't react the best. Because at the end of the day, like if a parent feels like these feelings of, I don't know, negative feelings when their son or daughter comes out to them, really at the core, it's just due to a lack of understanding. They haven't had the experiences or exposure to what this really is like for these kids. And so their natural reactions will sometimes not be the best. And so I guess my advice would be, if you're feeling a lot of emotional things when your son or daughter or whoever comes out to you, which you probably will be, hold off on expressing maybe the disappointment or those things, or the things that you just can't wrap your head around, maybe hold off on expressing those things and just express the fact that you love them, because the understanding and the questions that you might have, that happens over time. Like even my parents at the beginning, they didn't understand. Like they expressed love to me, but they were like, so what does this mean? And it was a little overwhelming for me at first, but over time, like we've been able to come to a great place of understanding just through conversations that we've had. And so, yeah, I know that was a lot, but I guess tie it up simply as express love, pure love, and express that you want to learn, you want to better understand what your kid is going through. I mean, I think that's the best thing you can do is just, we don't expect our parents or anyone to understand. We don't expect them to have the perfect thing to say, but what I would expect or at least hope is that they want to understand. And so if you can even just express that desire, that's, I think, more than enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that love and desire to understand, to not be afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. When you opened up with your parents about your orientation, why did you feel like you had to reassure them that you would get married to a woman when you knew you were gay and you were attracted and you weren't attracted to women?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because even though I had just had that experience with my therapist where I realized like God didn't intend for me to change my orientation or be straight and that he loved me out as I was, I still was very early on in the process of like acceptance to the point where I still kind of thought that I could almost like force myself onto this path of like marriage in the temple with a woman. And again, I think going back to not wanting to disappoint my parents or have them think that I'm like not on the path anymore, I think that tied into it as well. And so I definitely did. I said to them when I came out, like, yeah, I'm gay, but I'm still gonna get married in the temple. I'll go on 3 dates with girls a week. Like I had all these little expectations for myself that really proved to be unhealthy very quickly after that. But that's kind of where my head was at first. And it really just took time and experiences with God for me to get to a place where I'm now, I don't have a for sure yes or no to any outcome, but definitely not in the place where I was like, this is what I'm going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably ever changing too. So what advice do you have for kids who want to open up to their parents and they're just not sure how to approach it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that, I don't know. I mean, I just started by, I'm trying to even remember. I think that I just started by expressing like my love for my parents and that I just had something that I wanted to share with them. I would say this is what I would say is, this doesn't necessarily answer the question of how exactly you approach it, but just know this, if you are a kid who has this experience and you're wanting to open up, but you don't know how, please know that when you open up, like people are going to see the hurt, like they're going to see that this is such a hard thing for you to open up. And again, I can't speak for every parent because unfortunately, sometimes there is really harmful or unfortunate ways that they react. But, you know, for the most part, if your parent sees that hurt as you're about to share something or as you're sharing something, like they're just going to love you. And I would say if you really don't feel comfortable with your parents, if you really are sure that they're not going to react in a great way, then think and pray about people who you can trust. If it's a leader or teacher or friend or a friend's parent, I don't know. I just think it is so critical when you're that young to have at least someone you can talk to. And so I would say, I guess your approach, I would say do it prayerfully, which again might sound cliche, but really like that's been the best thing for me is to do everything on my journey prayerfully and with God, because if there's one thing I know, it's that God doesn't want you to suffer in silence. And so that's a prayer that I know he will answer, whether it comes instantly or just as you continue to pray and think about it. He's going to lead you to the point where you're able to share it, whether it's with your parent or someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. And that leads right into my next question I have for you, because how is knowing that you're going to navigate your orientation with God brought you peace and helped you on your journey?
Yeah, it's brought me so much peace, so much confidence, I would say, and hope. Because again, if there's one truth I know, it's like God is real. He loves me so much. He wants me to be happy. He has a perfect plan for me. And I know that. Like I know that for a fact. No one can take that from me. And there's all these other things, you know, that I know as well and believe in the church. And there's also a lot of questions I have and unanswered questions. But because I know that one truth above all, like that's my approach is like, okay, God wants me to be happy and he loves me. Well, I'm just going to stay close to him. I'm going to try to seek his guidance in navigating the gray area, because there is a lot of gray area. And as I do so, I know that eventually, like, I'll end up where I need to be. And so there still is the same unanswered questions. Like, that really hasn't changed. I still don't know what my future looks like 5, 10, 20 years down the road. But again, I kind of just go back to, like, knowing that God isn't going to lead me somewhere I'm not meant to be. And so as long as I keep him in the loop, keep him in my life, the center of my life, like, I will end up there. And it's been interesting because doing that approach, navigating my orientation with God, has been a journey of ups and downs. It's led me different directions and different places. And one of the biggest revelations or impressions I got early on, and you know, I keep a lot of the personal revelations that I've received very sacred, but this is one I feel prompted to share right now. One of them early on is I was just asking so many questions to God about which direction and what, can I do this? Should I do this? Can I do that? And I'll never forget having this moment of overwhelming, like, peace and love, where I felt God speaking to me and heard him speaking to me and just really testifying of his son, saying, just go, just keep moving, just do, just go and do and experience this, because my son's got you. Like, his grace is there for you when you fall short, or when you end up somewhere where you realize you're not meant to be. Basically, his answer was, you know, I'm not going to give you all the answers. I just want you to keep moving, move forward in some direction, because whether or not you get it right the first time, my son has already experienced all of that. He suffered and died for all of those things. And so he's got your back as you do that. And so I was so grateful for that, because then I felt like I had more space to just kind of, again, be prayerful, but then just do what I felt like was best for me in the moment. And that's why I say it's been up and down, is because at times that led me to have really great experiences. At other times that led me to have not so great experiences. But because of Jesus Christ, like, ultimately it's only led to progression and growth. And so I'm excited for more of that. I'm excited to continue to progress and grow, simply just because I'm doing this all with God.
I love what you said. I want to end with that, because that's a beautiful testimony about the power of partnering with God. I mean, how can you go wrong if you're in partnership with God? And when we slip or mistakes happen or whatever, that's what the atonement's for. That is why Jesus died for us. So I love your transparency. I love your vulnerability. I love your courage to come forward and share your experience in such a faithful way. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. I invite you to share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. Just click on that share button wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.